gargoyles that annoys me is I understand Disney has a history in all their films of some sort of like comedic element, even if it's in a serious moment. You know, Zazu in The Lion King adds in that in a lot of times.
Yeah, it's comic relief.
And the hyenas, that kind of stuff. But in The Lion King, there's this overarching comedy that happens throughout. I mean, you know, Timon and Pumbaa are funny, farts are funny, all that stuff kind of happens. There is nothing funny about Hunchback.
There are some small moments.
Very small.
The old man, I'm free, dang it.
It's a very, like, that kind of reminds me of, like, a Monty Python.
Oh,
like,
yeah. No, I mean,
Bring out your dad.
It is a much darker film. The themes that are on display are darker. There's literally a song called Hellfire, which, incidentally, is one of the best Disney songs in terms of actual composition and delivery. Yep.
There's also a scene where there's the suggestion that Frollo's plan is to basically to rape Esmeralda.
Well, that's constantly his plan. His essential deal toward the back half of the film with and this is spelled out is I am going to burn as many people as I have to make you have sex with me.
Yeah. It's not a movie I'd let my son watch.
No.
But Mulan is a movie that I thought actually balances out a lot of those things really well. Mm-hmm. There is a really silly comedic element with Eddie Murphy's character.
And you know what? Like, it doesn't get obnoxious.
No.
He's really well balanced in there.
I think maybe he should always play a small animal sidekick.
It works out pretty well. One of the things that struck me in Mulan, especially because this is a movie that came out, I think, 98. So, you know, look at where we are now, literally 20 years later. And in terms of, like, representation of female characters and all that sort of thing, there's a moment in Mulan where Shan Yu, the bad guy, is about to kill the male lead, Li Shan, on the premise that Li Shan was the hero who defeated him in his army. And Mulan kind of flicks her shoe at him and goes, no, it was me. And Shan Yu doesn't say a single thing about, you know, well, that's impossible, you're a girl, or, you know, yeah, you're not worth my, or I'm like exceptionally mad that you're a girl and you did this. He's literally just like, the soldier from the mountains. And he just goes berserk because, not because she's a girl, but because she's the one who ruined all his plans.
Yeah.
And he knows that he is going to kill the person who ruined his plans.
It is very, very... it's well done. I actually like it from a sheer
it still
visual standpoint.
Oh, my God.
The thing I like about it, it has these lines.
Yeah.
Like this very geometric look to the whole thing. I mean, it's evident from the movie poster, the sword and her face. There is this very mathematical look to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And for me, I can actually easily get pulled out of a good story with bad animation. An argument that I've had a number of times with your cousin and my dear friend Tristan is that I think Iron Giant sucked because there's a bad walk cycle where there's just... Where I'm so pulled out of how shitty the animation is that a whole section of that movie is just lost for me.
Now, but here's the thing about the Iron Giant. I haven't seen it. So, let's walk back to... We're talking Mulan, and I think you were talking about like this mathematical look to it. And I'm thinking...
Yeah.
A nice thing about that is that it didn't look artificially done. Like, it looked like someone had personally taken the time and put in the effort to create these shots and these scenes. These scenes where she's... running away from home are fantastically shot. There's just this montage and it's instrumental. As Jerry Goldsmith provides a fantastic score, and every single moment of that is an excellent beat.
Yep. Yeah. The whole sequence of "I'll Make a Man Out of You."
That's a wonderful song.
It's a really, really great song.
I love that song.
And also the whole visuals to that sort of Rocky IV training montage that sort of happens in it is just so, so well done.
Mm-hmm.
So Mulan's a movie that I would be, it'd be up there. My problem is, as we talked, I have a bad memory, so I sometimes confuse things that are specifically Pixar versus things that are Disney, Pixar, and things that are etc.
Yeah. So my question to you, of course, is the same question you threw to me. What is your favorite Disney movie?
So my favorite Disney movie...
I will censor you if you get it wrong.
I have a hard time with this because I have a tendency to fall into the trap of, you know, I love new movies when they come out.
You nonsense.
So I will say that before, very recently, my favorite Disney movie probably would have been Aladdin.
Okay.
I love Robin Williams in it. I think he's incredible. The fact it's perfect. Like he's just amazing. I think Jafar is a really, really great bad guy.
Oh yeah.
Who I think Gilbert Gottfried as Iago is a really, really fantastic portrayal.
He is a great comic relief.
And so I like all that stuff. I really like Abu. I love Abu. I love what he adds to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of really great songs that I really enjoy in the marketplace when they
One Jump.
That's a great song to me, and it's a great sequence.
It says something I think about how good the songs were in that, and this is of course Howard Ashman, Alan Menken,
yep,
were a great team who did the previous two films before Howard Ashman passed away. Is that every Aladdin thing since has basically just leaned on the formulas of those songs.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the sequels, which don't do that. and the songs are the same, except they're slightly worse. Like, you can listen to them and go, oh, that's Friend Like Me, but it's a little different than Friend Like Me.
Yeah.
And so, like, Jafar's got a song in his film, You're Only Second Rate, and then the 40 Thieves in the third film have Welcome to the 40 Thieves. And it's basically the same instrumentation. It's the same tempo. Right. It's the same musical riffs.
The thing that I also like about that movie and love in general is the fact that it gave way to one of the best video games based on a movie or TV show. The Aladdin video game...
It was a lot of fun.
...was fantastic.
Yeah.
It was really well done. It brought in all the elements that you felt from the movie. I thought it actually did a really great job of bringing them in.
And that's a good adventurous movie is the thing. Like, there's a lot to that.
It's fun. The thing I will say is that I actually think that my favorite Disney movie of all time...
Yes.
...is probably Moana.
Yeah. I knew you were going to say that.
And you disagree, obviously.
Well, no, I don't disagree if that's your favorite movie. I mean, I'm not going to be that guy.
The thing about Moana that I love, number one, I think it has some really beautiful music. Like, it has music. It has music that I want to listen to separate from watching the movie.
Okay, now, and as somebody who was literally listening to Moana songs yesterday, I don't agree.
Well, then you're dumb. For a number of reasons. One is listening to Moana music if you don't really like it.
Well, the thing is, I like it. And one of the things I thought Moana brought back to Disney films, and this is something that Frozen managed to land as well when they were doing their songs, is they kind of captured that sort of mimetic fun of some of the best numbers. Like, when you think of Moana, I should pronounce it properly, I know better.
Ideally, yeah.
What's the first song that comes to your mind as something that you'd like... think of associated with this film?
I have a bad memory.
You can describe it.
It's the one where she sings How Far I'll Go.
Wrong then. I was going to say it's You're Welcome.
See, you said Moana, and I was thinking of the character of Moana.
Okay, fine. But I mean,
so that being said, the most obvious go-tos, there's two of them. One is You're Welcome.
Yeah.
And the other one's probably Shiny.
Yeah, and I like Shiny okay, but it's second
like,
rate.
I like Shiny. I love You're Welcome.
You're Welcome is one of these perfect mimetic songs, one of these perfect mimetic moments in a Disney film, because this is what I whip out when I'm being smug at people. I will just put out... Yeah, don't do that. I will just put out a link to the song "You're Welcome" online when I've just done something, especially like if I'm playing a board game, I've just done something particularly rude.
Yep.
We talked about this last episode where I love being the bad guy.
Yes.
Part of being the bad guy is I capitalize on that by writing parody lyrics to the song "You're Welcome" and then firing them off in the link.
Yeah,
I love
I've received something similar from time to time. So.
Yes. And of course, Frozen had "Let It Go," and that one was instantly like they. One of the smartest things they did to market that movie was putting that song on the internet before it came out.
Yep.
Definitely a winning move there. And, I mean, that was the song that...
Frozen is one that I like. Mm-hmm. And I actually do like Frozen. I think it was I think it was good. The things I love about Moana are, number one, it is a really nice-looking movie.
It really
is. It does have some really nice visual value.
I was watching the scene at the end with the... with the lava, where the sea parts and the lava.
That scene is stunning.
It's actually, weirdly enough, like the lighting and the texture of the dawn light coming over and the exposed magmatic rock. And I looked at it and I was like, that looks real. Looks like pictures I've seen of people take of like early morning in the Hawaiian Islands.
We just watched it again because Pier 21 had a thing over Christmas where they had like a family day.
Yeah.
And so they showed that movie.
Okay.
They have a little theater in there. So they showed it and I got to see it sort of on the screen again.
Yeah.
They also had a dancer teaching hula dancing and Tahitian hula dancing as well.
Okay.
Anyways, it was super fun. But when I got to see that movie again, because the song that plays during that is actually my favorite moment of that whole movie.
Yeah.
When she sings, you know, "I've crossed the ocean to find you."
Yeah.
I know your name. I actually get teary-eyed just listening to that song. It is beautiful. It looks perfect. But the thing I love about Moana is it takes everything that has ever been wrong, maybe not everything, but a lot of things that have been wrong with Disney movies and with
all the things cartoons and all that stuff.
Things you pick apart them, and it says, fine, we won't do any of those, and we'll make a great movie. I mean, she's not an orphan.
Nope.
She's not, there's no love interest.
Yep.
She's, just all of the things that are always wrong. The thing that I love about it the most, that my actual favorite thing about this whole movie, is that for a good portion of the movie, her father is sort of the antagonist.
Yeah.
I mean, the first sort of third of the movie.
Yeah, easily.
Her father is the antagonist. And you know what the problem is with her father?
Mm.
This is the big, like in other animated movies, etc.
Yeah.
It's my father wants me to marry this person, or my father wants me to, you know, to settle down, or my father doesn't want me to be an adventurer. And sure, her father doesn't want her to be an adventurer. But what her father wants is for her to be the ruler of her entire people and take personal responsibility for being a great leader.
Yeah. It is a great message.
The conflict of this thing is her dad saying, and there's several times where there's a scene where they have the coconuts and they show it, and she tells the woman, this is what you should do. She's young at this point, making incredible decisions about the future of her island.
Yes.
And the woman who she tells it to says to her father something to the effect of, like, she's good at this. Like, she's a great leader. And she is. And you see those moments of great leadership in her. And to me, that just outweighs a lot of other things. I mean, that's not why I like it.
Yeah.
But when you take all the reasons I like it and you add in those incredible things, I just think you end up with this really great movie.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of quality to it, definitely. I think that, because, I mean, unlike you, I've seen every film in the Disney animated canon, which...
I don't know that I haven't seen...
Melody Time.
Well, okay.
There we go, that was easy.
Doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
No,
it
doesn't.
Part of the animated canon. I will show you the list. Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
I've seen it.
Okay. Three Caballeros.
Three what?
Three Caballeros.
Yeah, no, saw that one for sure.
Okay, the one before that.
Yeah.
Saludos Amigos.
Saw, for sure saw Saludados Umbregos.
I believe him.
Here's the thing. I think that, so it's true. You've seen, you know, all the Disney canon.
I have no life.
I've seen, it's true. I've seen what most people would consider the full
but
gamut of
what
Disney
I was actually going to say is...
Continue.
Like, I'm not sitting here about to say, you know what the best one was? It was Melody Time. No, I was going to say the exact opposite. I was going to say, you know what you could do with your time? You could skip Saludos Amigos. You could skip Three Caballeros. You could skip Melody Time. And you'd come out feeling pretty happy with yourself.
Yeah.
Because they were painful to do. I've seen enough of those films to know, you know, the different qualities each one has. And one of the ones that I like that I know is not a great film, for example, is The Black Cauldron.
Yep.
Which is probably one of the most obscure ones. But I enjoy a lot of the qualities it has. And the Horned King is easily the most terrifying Disney villain ever, which is quite saying something.
Yeah, because there's some scary ones.
Yeah, but he's just messed up beyond reason.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I think, actually, the... And it's, in some ways, it's out of date now, and I've been able to see some cracks in it, especially in terms of the animation, because there are segments where they did it on the cheap.
Yeah.
But I think the best actual Disney animated film is Beauty and the Beast. And I respect, you know, the value in that sigh, that it's a very traditional story in a lot of ways, that it's overhyped, that it's overdone, that everybody says this.
I don't have problems with that stuff.
Go for it, then. What do you got?
I think there's great songs, mm-hmm. which to me is the mark of a good Disney movie. It has to have some really great musical elements to it.
Yep.
I think that from an animation standpoint, I think it's beautiful.
Sometimes.
I think that, you know, I have no problems with that stuff.
Oh, rewatch the first 15 minutes.
Here's some problems I have.
Go for
well, the, yeah, the very beginning, it not...
Yeah, until she gets to the castle.
I like the song. I actually love the song it opens with. The bell opens with...
it's called Bell.
Is it called Bell?
It's called Bell.
But
some people call it Little Town, but it's called Bell.
Yeah. So, but here's my problem with... It's not a problem with necessarily how they did the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem with the story as a whole.
Sure.
Because there are some fundamental plot holes in the story.
Absolutely.
So, this young prince mm-hmm. is in charge of everything. Is seemingly... How old is the prince when
he's
he first 20. Meets...
Oh, like when he first meets the Enchantress?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, see, that's one of the things. And I think one of the sequels actually goes on and does that. But he's like 10.
Super problematic.
He's 10. Yeah.
What? Like, there's no reason to necessarily expect any better of a 10-year-old than what happened.
No.
I've always read it and looked at the visuals they've shown mm-hmm. that he's...
Older.
He's older. He's 16, he's 17.
Yeah.
Fine. There's no way that the castle and everything gets in such a decayed state over the course of 3 years.
And I mean, at the same time...
So the timeline for starters doesn't work for me. But here's the bigger point.
Go for it.
All the people who work for him,
yeah,
seemingly pretty nice people.
Mm-hmm.
So why the hell do they get turned into inanimate objects that exist inside
this? I mean, they're pretty fucking
animate, bud. Why do they get turned into animated inanimate objects? Animated inanimate objects.
This is only going to get worse.
Because animate. So why, like, there's a fundamental problem with that when you're like, so wait, because he's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
All of the people who are essentially indentured slaves.
I will put a thing on this. I have an answer for you.
You can turn into pots and pans and clocks and shit just because he's an asshole.
I'm going to give you an answer.
I'd love to hear this.
And the answer is they, far from being indentured servants, this is a period where, you know, we've seen people have, like, their own individual jobs and lives. And they're probably, you know, paid to work there. But the thing is that...
They're not going anywhere.
What we do not see anywhere around there are parents. So one of two things has happened here. Either one, he's an orphan. Or two, his parents were like, we're just going to fob you off onto this, like, winter palace or summer home,
sure.
or whatever the case may be, and you're there with the servants. And my theory is that they were cursed because none of them ever stepped in and took a hand or tried to do anything beyond the function of their jobs when it came to him. Like, they all performed up to the line and went, you know what, the thing where he's becoming a brat, I have nothing personally to do with that. I'm just the guy who holds the candlestick. I'm just the guy who I'm just the guy who clocks the house up. I'm just the woman who dusts. Like, it is not my responsibility to try and say to him, look, I know I'm responsible for dusting, but don't shove stuff on the floor. I'm not going to pick that up. You pick that up.
Like, however, yeah, there would be no expectation, or specifically, there would be, like, if they did that, they would be fired.
Possibly.
I mean,
we don't know who's paying them. It's quite, it might well be his parents, again, from some off distant land. But what I'm saying is, the curse might say something to the effect of, you people who are enabling and participating in this, who don't choose to exist in this beyond the function of your jobs, and are just like, whatever happens, happens. If he grows up to become a heinous tyrant ruling over France with an iron fist, like, too bad. You know, we could have headed this off the pass, because obviously he's 10, but no.
On a scale of cheese to Empire Strikes Back,
go for it.
How much do you believe that scenario is the case?
Oh, not at all. I'm just making stuff up. I'm literally just sitting here answering to the off.
No, and that's fine. I
but I think the larger
thing is, because it's a neat idea to say, like, they're enabling, yeah, they're all these things.
And I think the other thing is that I saw the musical. And the musical, of course, again, a Disney production, slightly different interpretation there, because in the musical version, these people weren't turned into objects.
Okay.
In the musical version, they are becoming objects.
Okay.
Slowly. They are okay, losing their humanity gradually and becoming more like the functionary pieces of their job. And this is part of the curse. Like, the curse is, at the end, there won't be people here. Because, again, like, as part of the castle, and sort of, that's, I'm drawing on that to some extent. So that, sure, may not be in the movie. But a bigger thing is that I honestly don't care. It's really well done. The characters are very well designed. They're very well performed. David Ogden Stiers, yeah, Jerry Orbach, Angela Lansbury, of course, a lot of, yeah, warmth there. And some of the... Well, did you send me that link? Someone sent me this link, and I'm sure you've seen it. Either you sent it to me or I sent it to you, but either way, it was like the 50 most beautiful shots in Star Wars.
I sent it to you.
There we go. That's, yep, what I thought. Yep. So, I mean, if you're comprising a list
just for followers here, there's a Twitter handle called One Perfect Shot that do a lot of that, and they had, yep, created this thing of top 50. So
if you were doing that for Disney... I think, yep, there's multiple shots in Beauty and the Beast that would have to come in.
Yeah.
And honestly, some of the best moments in that film don't even involve songs per se, so much as they involve the score and a lot of the mise-en-scene around that. Like, one of the most striking bits for me is the opening narration. There's a beautiful piece, yep, of music going over that. And, I mean, like, that musical theme that carries
through the film... That is really well done,
...is
actually
enchanting. Yeah. And, yeah, the point where the beast transforms back to a human, that is great.
Except...
Yes. This is the biggest problem with the film.
So, what this movie teaches you as a whole,
mm-hmm,
is the most important thing is that you're pretty.
No, I don't think so at all. I think it teaches you the exact opposite. I think it teaches you that pretty people are really shallow and horrible.
The four most attractive
people in the town who aren't wearing blue, because this is actually the distinction, everybody else wears some shade of red,
yeah,
are all vapid, shallow, and generally prone to violence.
Yeah. But he, like... She loves him as the beast, and,
yeah,
fine, but, like, the whole thing being, like... He's trying to get back to being beautiful. I mean, one of the things that I love about Shrek, for example...
Oh, yeah, that was a
great point. It goes the other way.
Yeah. But you know what, though? I don't think he's necessarily trying to get back to being beautiful. I mean, again, when was he cursed? He was a 10-year-old.
Right.
Also, if you look at him in the stained glass window, he looks hideous.
Yeah.
But I don't think it has anything to do with that. Like, if you actually look at the scene when he transforms, he turns around, he looks at Belle, and she's not like, oh, you're hot now. She literally is like... I'm not sure about this. You're a lot easier to make up with now, but
yeah.
I'm still not. And she has to actually look and see the one part of him that didn't change, which was his eyes.
Right.
Right? And he's always had the same eyes.
Yeah.
There's a
very interesting movie. Mm-hmm. I think it's very interesting. Critically, absolutely panned.
Yep.
Just demolished, called Beastly.
Oh, yes, that was bad.
I thoroughly enjoyed Beastly.
Of course you did.
Because you and I are polar opposites in most ways.
Well, it's not my fault that I'm right and you're wrong.
I enjoyed Beastly for a number of reasons. I enjoyed Beastly because, first off,
mm-hmm.
instead of terrible things happening to the people around him,
yep.
When he's cursed, great things happen to the people around him when he's cured.
Okay.
So that's the first part. Neil Patrick Harris and his maid, whose name I don't know, good things happen to them that were not caused by his sort of situation.
Yeah.
But I think he specifically, I think he actually embodies that shift of mentality much better than the Beast does in the movie, in the Beauty and the Beast movie. I've never loved Beauty and the Beast. I see the value in it. I see it as being very good, but it's just never been on my radar as this great movie that I guess it is, but it's just not there for me.
I think it's the stirring presentation and the stirring scenes in it. I think it's got a lot of very excellent production qualities. I think that when those lapse, it goes down notably. And again, like the first 15 minutes, like I said. Also, the song you like, Belle, is actually a song that I find really annoying now because, one, I've heard its musical motif repeated in Something There, which is the later song in the film.
Yeah.
And that's the, sort of the bridge portion. Other than that, the actual main body of the song,
yeah.
It's about a 5-minute song, and it's... it's very repetitive. There's not a lot going on there. So that bothers me. But, of course, it does have, again, if we're talking about the mimetic value of Disney films, and you could run through the Disney Renaissance and how this worked. Under the Sea, Little Mermaid.
Yep.
Be Our Guest and Gaston for Beauty and the Beast.
Gaston is, like,
endlessly.
So good.
You could just do that forever.
Yeah.
Aladdin, Friend Like Me, Prince Ali. Yep. I've done lots of Prince Ali jokes. Yep. They're great.
Yep.
And I mean, A Whole New World is a pretty striking song. It's not as mimetic, but, you know, like...
yeah.
Because you don't have a sentence structure like Prince Ali, adjective he. Because, like, that's something you can rig up.
Yeah.
And that's lots of fun. But it's still a striking song.
I mean, Lion King, you have...
Hakuna Matata. Which
Hakuna Matata and need, Prince Like Me.
Yeah. Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Just Can't Wait to Be King.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not really mimetic because you're not using that in a snow clone sense where you're taking most of the sentence, blanking out something and filling that in.
No.
You know, like no one blanks like Gaston.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or, of course, See My Vest. The Simpsons. What was after The Lion King? Pocahontas. And Pocahontas, of course, doesn't really have one.
Do that, no.
They've got lots of songs. Hunchback? Nope.
Yep.
Hercules? No.
Does Hercules not?
Not really. Well, I mean, I can think of all the songs in Hercules, and none of them are very...
of course you can.
That's what I do.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Mulan kind of brings it back, actually, with I'll Make a Man Out of You. Because that's a song where you, like, you're not going to change the chorus, but it's very mimetic.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you will jam... I've seen tons of references where somebody will just arbitrarily put, you know, like, swift like a coursing river, and someone will immediately follow up with the other lines in that chorus.
Because
it's so much fun.
Yeah.
But, again, winding back, I'm just saying, like, that was some of the value in these songs. Howard Ashman and Alan Menken were a great pair, and I feel like, you know, the team that did Moana did some very fun things with music.
Yeah.
But I'm not as struck by them in a song sense.
See, it's interesting because I have listened to the deluxe edition of the Moana soundtrack.
Yeah.
Which has some of the original stuff that God name Hamilton Miranda.
You're getting there.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
That's him.
It has some of his stuff where, like, he does "You're Welcome."
Yeah.
And there's some slight changes, and it's in his voice, which is actually beautiful to hear. And I really feel like there are certain songs, like, I agree that there's not as many... There's some wasted songs in a certain way in Moana that, that just don't really kick into stuff. But... there are three or four just, to me, incredible, passionate songs that do more from an emotion standpoint than a lot of Disney movies do. I mean, Aladdin, for me, doesn't have the emotional musical highs.
Oh, none.
It's not even close. And the thing is,
they actually had planned some, and they cut them all out.
And so, I mean, even like, you know, A Whole New World, it just doesn't. It's a pop song.
It's a pop ballad. Yeah.
Yeah. Lion King gets me a little bit. I actually really feel like "Can You Feel the Love Tonight" is quite a beautiful song.
I think Circle of Life is just, it's a smashing blockbuster number. And it's the kind of thing that you only wish you could write for your musical.
100%. There's
tears the roof off the sucker.
There is no musical piece in the Disney canon that I've seen that has the same emotional ties for me as the song... which is very brief.
Yeah,
that she sings to Ska.
Yeah,
there's never been a moment for me in the history of Disney films that has been that emotionally charged from
fair.
A music standpoint, and that to me is the big thing. Like that's what I kind of was looking for from that. Yeah. So yeah,
well, I'm glad you enjoyed that. I mean, I don't think it was a good film. And I think it'll stick. I think it'll be a good one for kids going forward. I don't know that it'll hold up to, like, Renaissance levels. Because I feel like it got kind of shafted in a way. I feel like it got kind of glossed a little bit more than it could have. Yeah, like, it just... It didn't... The press seemed to vanish on it. Compared to, like, Frozen, where everybody was all over the moon.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, anyway, I'll leave that there.
I think that... There's a lot of value in Disney movies and kids movies and in cartoons. I watch every cartoon that really comes out, animated stuff, whether it's sort of adult driven or whether it's, you know, directed towards kids. I just think that it's fun to have fun and watch animated stuff.
Have I recommended to you yet this wonderful jaunty new kids tale that came out recently? It's called Attack on Titan. You should totally check that out.
I'm going to check that out. Well, from a sample like that, I decided to take my son to see Pete's Dragon.
Yep.
Because Pete's Dragon, it's a beautiful Disney book. The original was quite fun and jaunty. And the
original makes me annoyed by how much I don't care for it as a movie, and yet how much some of its songs stick with me, even though I hate them.
The new one has no music.
Yes.
And also just opens with it. It's like Up, which is a great film, but about 10 minutes into Up, there's some things that happen that don't go well. And Pete's Dragon just straight up opens with that. Just like, why don't we have the saddest things you can imagine happen just right off the get and go from there.
Oh, yeah.
And I took my son to it when he was 4, and he didn't seem to care, but I spent half the movie crying, being like, oh, my God, that poor orphan. I love animated movies. I think that Laird is, of course, wrong about the movies he has mentioned as being good.
You don't like The Emperor's New Groove? Something wrong with you, motherfucker.
No, you did, actually. I do like that one. It is good. The idea that Beauty and the Beast is the best and yet it's not your favorite, once again drives me bananas.
I don't like picking favorites.
Your ability to separate your objective brain from your subjective brain.
Ah, yes, but that's because I have a third brain. It's called the troll brain. Look at it on top of my head.
Drives me bonkers. Now he's just getting ridiculous. Anyway, thank you for tuning in again, and we hope you enjoyed. And go watch Mulan. If I can recommend one of the movies that we've talked about, it's Mulan, because I think it gets the least amount of credit for what it has done.
I will concur.
So go watch Mulan, and then come back.